Okay.
But Martha, do you want to do some work on before we?
Yes, indeed.
Because I think we started.
I apologize.
That's okay. We got the chief's attention anyway.
Yeah.
I didn't want to change it to the agenda.
But we welcome everybody here this evening and thank you for coming. We do have a full complement of meetings this evening, so all committees will be reporting as well as the full board meeting. And Mr. Chair, in 30 seconds, you may call this meeting over.
Okay.
That was a dress rehearsal.
Yeah. Can I ask for an approval of the agenda?
Not your agenda.
I did that on there.
No. There is a change to the agenda there. We will have two additions. One will be on the business. It will be added to the
recognition of guests. Motion to accept the agenda.
We did have.
Yes.
And then I think we're going to second, right?
All right.
Now we'll move on to recognition of guests. I'm a little lost here. No, I'm operating without my glasses.
Yes. This evening we have with us Relly Company, and company includes Ronald Dean, Mr. Correll. Then we have Perry Sylvester. And he is with, he's a guest this evening.
Do I raise my hand?
Alicia Kate, a guest this evening with us. And I
thank you, man. Next item, the minutes. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the September?
I move that the minutes of the September 18, 2024 regular board trustees be accepted as submitted.
Second. Then move the second to minutes stand approved.
I have to abstain from those votes because I was not here.
Standing committee here, and
good evening, trustees, and Dr. Ivory, thank you for the opportunity to present this evening. Our team has been working with our external auditors, Greg and Charlie Company, over the past several months, completing our fiscal year, June 2024, financial statement audit. We'd like to thank Mr. Terrell and his team for being here tonight and for completing our audit efficiently. He will help us present this evening and discuss matters of the audit, including compliance requirements with auditing standards, both the district's responsibility and the auditor's responsibility with respect to audit standards and our financial results. Thank you.
In your package, you probably got a couple letters. One of the things that requires communication, so I just want to briefly cover that. Of course, we brought it in the financial statements within year of June 30, 2024. And of course, we have certain audit standards and government audit standards. We plan to issue a report with a date of November 13. As part of the audit, in terms of submitted audit matters, we noted those transactions and went through by the college that NICA authority guidance. This year was no really new auditing or accounting standards that impacted the college. There are some estimates embedded in the financial statements, primarily related to the actuarial assumptions that go into the determination of the net pension and OPEB liabilities. But that comes from the Office of Contractual Services. They have an actuarial study done every year, and that those financial statements are audited and basically end up paying or assuming our proportionate share of that liability or expense for each year. The other thing that's subject to estimates is our allowance for uncollectible accounts related to our student receivables. And then we do have some estimates related to depreciation and amortization of capital assets. We encountered no difficulties in performing this year's audit. Corrected the statements. We didn't have any significant audit adjustments required to make these financial statements presented fairly important to the accounting principles. After the report, we have a disagreement with management. And once the report is approved, we're going to get a representation letter from management, basically, which we do every year, that says that management provided us with everything we requested during the year and through the holding information that might be pertinent to these financial statements, either in terms of the presentation of the numbers or disclosure of the financial statements. Consultations with other accountants, typically that happens if there's a dispute between the audit firm and the accounting or management staff with respect to accounting treatment, things like that. To our knowledge, there was no consultation required by WC3 with respect to any of those matters. In terms of the report, we've issued, or we plan to issue, an unmodified opinion on the financial statements for the year ended June 30, 2024. When you look at the operating results for 2024 compared to 2023, you'll see that overall our operating revenues increased roughly about $5 million. A lot of that is from tuition and fees. Our expenses kind of increased about the same amount, so basically, we're pretty much at the same place in terms of when we compare operating revenues and operating expenses as we were in the prior year. Where we do have the non-operating side, we did get some bump up in terms of our state appropriations. We got a little, close to $2 million increase there. The biggest increase was in both the property taxes, which increased about $6 million over the prior year, and the investment income. So the prior year investment income was about $725,000, and the investment income in 2024 was about $12,285,000. So just that kind of, if you might be in the stock market, you know the difference a year made in terms of what our investments were doing. And so overall, we had a net increase in our net position of about $46 million versus about $33 million in the prior year, and most of that has to do with those changes. Other than that, there's really nothing else that kind of sticks out in terms of the report. The audit went very well. The cooperation from Kim and her team. We've got a couple of my guys here. Ron Dean was managing on the job. Terrence was one of our three other people that work as part of the audit team that are going out here, so just appreciate the work and the willingness of the trustees and open up for any questions that the trustees might have.
Trustee, any questions? Okay. If not, we have a motion to accept the audit estimate.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Accept the audit recommendations that received and move forward to the board.
The, I want to commend Kim's leadership in this moment. The audit experience that each year is intense and requires just unbelievable focus. And they do that every year, and I can't help but commend it. When we look at the budget, and I like the fact that I get a lot of input when we are, the board really pays attention to audit. They're paying attention to the numbers. The numbers are, we're doing a pretty good job. But I, one of the things that a couple of board members have made observations, they made, and I want to pay attention to it. We need to look at opportunities to invest in this moment, when we look at programs, we got to be comfortable with making bold decisions about how we invest in the college's future, and that's what we're looking at. We've got to look at a new program. We can't continue to live with the program we've had in place for the last 20, 30 years, notwithstanding criminal justice team. It's been a premier program for a long time. But the other programs we've got to look at, and we're going to have them, we're going to continue to have that discussion. Mr. Rev, thank you all for your, the intensity you bring to the table and looking at what we do. And the fact that at times we always look forward to seeing you. But we know at the end of the day, we are better than the students we always do.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. At this time, I will vacate the chair for next week.
Mr. Chair, the next committee here is the Community Affairs.
Thank you again, Madam. Presentation for the committee up under item number four, F4.
Thank you, trustee. We're going to talk about the whole notion of trying to focus on retention, orientation, and recruitment. We're going to do that. And, you know, we did a little bit of that last board meeting, but we're going to do it again now in terms of strategy. But before we get into the meat of the presentation, I wanted to ask Dr. Hines to introduce some of our students and talk a little bit about a very important program we have at the University of Michigan. Dr. Hines, and then we'll move back into the
Good evening, trustees.
Good evening.
Thank you for having me speak. If I could, if Mr. Gilson, you can ask the faculty member and the four students to at least come in the foyer.
Sure.
I thought that this was a unique time to celebrate and to showcase who we are, what we do, and why we do it. We talk about that all of the time. We talk about strategies that are innovative in terms of recruiting students and retaining them. But without partnerships and real world experience opportunities, they're coming in, I'm leaving them in with the discussion. Without real world partnerships an opportunity. I stand right with him, right here. Unparalleled opportunities and partnerships. It doesn't matter what we do. And so we thought it was appropriate that these students represent who we are as a district. In terms of, they're a microcosm of a larger world in terms of the diversity and the opportunities that provided. They have and wanted to share a little bit. They're from different programs. We have students who are part of the Water STEM and Research Program, of which we have talked a little bit about before. And we have a student that would like to make a comment about the impact of that program and what that has meant to them. And then we have, and we have their faculty professor with them, and we have three additional faculty from criminal justice and our unparalleled partnership that we'd like to share. So I'm going to start off with the Water STEM program and the sciences. We offer authentic opportunities for real world experience, and we share what that means. Ms. Dixon, Tuesday Dixon, would you like to speak a little bit about what being involved with that partnership has meant to you and for you and for some other students?
Good evening. What I learned is that I love research. If it wasn't for this opportunity on a community college level, I don't know if I would have experienced this research opportunity. Going out, learning about the water, the quality and everything, you know, finding out that we had E. coli before they shut down the beach, that was stellar. Because I was able to tell people, you know, make sure you sign up for the alerts to find out if there are some issues before you go to the beach. Matter of fact, if the water looks like this, don't get into it. Go where it looks a little bit clear. So I was able to learn about the water quality, the safety. I was able to learn that I'm in nursing, so I learned that I want to be a nurse researcher. Mm-hmm. And then we had the lovely Dr. Hines advocate for us for technology. And that was awesome because, you know, we use our phones or we use tablets to, you know, look up the course material, but now we have laptops. And then for me, I was picked as one of the 15 for the partnership with Wayne County Nursing Department and U of M Flint for their RN to BSN program. And so now,
don't roll over that one.
Thank you. So now I can utilize that laptop for the program is because it's mainly online. We have to go in a couple of times in person, and I've been able to use the laptop to view the modules that we're working on, as well as look up articles and things of that nature. And I greatly appreciate the opportunity of having research at Wayne County Community College, because is there another community college out here that does that?
No.
Because, you know, you have to wait till you get to a four-year university to find out that you like research and encourage other people from other disciplines to do research. And as a special thanks to Dr. Hines, we present to you this card.
Oh, that was awesome. Oh.
She did tell you that she gave me credit for the laptop, right?
Thank you, Chancellor.
There you go. It was because of the Chancellor's wavering. No, they did hear that. It was because of the Chancellor's unwavering support. This particular program, and this is important for the trustees to understand, is that this particular effort is not funded outside externally with grants and having to go out and seek them with other partnerships. This opportunity for our students to have this level of authentic research that allows them to move and experience pathways of research that they would not have an opportunity is because of Dr. Ivory. And it's his desire, and it is supported by Dr. Ivory, not by going out and seeking external opportunities. And this is not the first year that it has occurred. So we're gonna pause and take a moment to thank you, sir, for that. That is one of those items. We also have an unparalleled partnership at the University of Michigan. It's called the Wolverine Leaders to Leaders Program, and it's exclusive to Wayne County Community College District. Its purpose is to promote interest in and provide a pathway to, directly to the University of Michigan in the fields of criminal justice, corrections, and law enforcement. And so I will appreciate our faculty who are there. I have three students, no particular order, but I'm gonna go with the gentleman who you see here, dressed in our Wayne County suit, who is a student, who also is an employee in the division. He represents what our students typically are. Share us with you, Will. Give them your name, please, and share, Mr. Juwan.
My name is Sergeant Will of Justice. So I'm the first designer. Esteemed judges, if you're any lawyers. Good afternoon. Michigan Stadium was built in 1927. It is the largest in the United States of America and the fifth largest in the world. If you've been in this stadium, it will be an experience of a lifetime. The University of Michigan have top-notch security devices inside that stadium for you to enter and when you are exited. Hundreds of thousands of people would have gone into that stadium, and those devices are here for security purposes. If you see how they operate them, you will say, wow, is this technology really alive in America? Or is this technology can work as efficiently to for 100? You know, stadiums are big, mm-hmm. and the amount of people who went through these devices is there. Now, the customer service during this program also is very good. I myself have captured some of the customer service techniques and use at the Health and Wellness Education Center, which has been really good for me. Now, the partnership that the WCCCD has with the University of Michigan, I believe and I hope that I could recommend it this day that this partnership continue to go on. Because some of the students who have the experience have never looked at criminal justice law enforcement serious activity. And now they are starting to change their mind, wanting to go into that field. If you see how they set up their offices, how they do their debriefing, how the chief, the BAM specialist, they would have thought criminal justice is alive at the Wayne County Community College District. I just want to thank Professor Anthony, George Anthony, Professor Jackson, Professor Doug Bora, Robinson, for making this possible for students so that we can have a knowledge of criminal justice and what is happening around it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Not to be outdone. Yes, please introduce your name.
I'm Faith Steele. I honestly didn't know much going into the criminal justice internship program about like the Michigan Stadium or anything like that. And I didn't know how many jobs are like into that. Like you would just assume like they would have like one security team, one fire team and all that. But they have like a whole system there that I got to learn. And it opened my horizon on how I was thinking about how I was gonna go with after graduating, and it just helped me realize like what I want to do. Because I knew I wanted to do something in like the law enforcement, something in law, but I wasn't completely sure. And so far, it's helped me learn more things about it.
I love that. This is speaking from our dual enrollment students. And my colleague is going to pull up the rear, and we're going to conclude with your comments. Please introduce your name.
My name is Benjamin Birch. I am also a dual enrollment with her. We're both still in high school. This has sort of, I've always known that there's been three sort of sections. There's always been corrections, the courts, and law enforcement. This really did amaze me when I first came, and I first, when they introduced me onto the program, and they thankfully accepted me into the program, it really did open my eyes, and it was probably one of the best experiences of a lifetime that I can proudly say that this program is one of a kind. I don't think I could have ever gotten this sort of experience anywhere else other than here. It was the greatest thing to see all these different departments come together like one gigantic puzzle and just completely assemble itself within, what, maybe a week-ish? Just to plan out how to get 110,000 people into a stadium. By God, it was the greatest thing I have ever seen. Thank you for bringing me onto this program.
Trustees, this concludes our student presentation. Please give them another hand. Thank you for their time. I have time away, and you are the best and brightest of what we offer, so thank you. And thank you, Professor Kennedy.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Sir, I'm now turning over to you.
Who takes such pride in what our criminal justice faculty, what they do every day, to make a difference, and that's continued to be one of our outstanding programs.
And one of the things that comes to mind is that even in terms of this presentation, he always brings us back to there is one vision, there is one college, and there is one district. And if we keep that in mind. And so Wayne County Community College District, what we represent integrated strategies and we focus on platforms for all students, but particularly here at the district, I don't know if you all appreciate how wide our district is and what it encompasses in terms of demography and what that those demographics may mirror on the national stage. What do you mean by that, Charmaine? Well,
yes, Charmaine, what do you mean by that?
For example, over 34% of our students are first-generation students. They are first time in any college students. If you look on the national, that kind of mirrors that. We have more women enrolled at the district than we have men. Women outpace men. Our students are non-traditional with an average age of between 24 and 28, or as Dr. Hodge from IE would say, the average age of our student is 27. Those non-traditional students are not limited to non-traditional in age. They represent 88% or higher of our students go part-time. If 88% of our students go part-time, then that means our students are also working while they're going to school. And so adding opportunities and understanding, when we talk about completion and when we talk about student success, as the world tries to frame what student success and what completion means, it's our students who are defining what completion and student success means. Well, Charmaine, how are they defining what student success means? If they are non-traditional age students who are also working, that means they need to enter in to skill up, they need to enter the workforce, or they need to re-enter, or they're pursuing pathways that they had absolutely no idea that they were referring to. And higher education has been grappling with, well, what does that look like? You know, what do the industries, the new impending industries on the horizon look like? Before, they would have said vocational industry and workforce would be a taboo word. But now, because industry is grappling with some of the very same things that higher education as a whole is grappling with, they're calling a enrollment cliff. What do we mean by an enrollment cliff? Well, what they're saying is that the population of students graduating from high school is declining. And so now community colleges are now a big consumer for our four-year partners. Now they know our name. Now they recognize who we are. Why? Because they are having challenges with recruiting students and they are having challenges with enrollment. And because community colleges enroll the largest sector of students, diverse, non-traditional, first-time in any college students, now community colleges are on the radar. So we're all fighting for those same pool of candidates. Not only are we fighting for those same pool of candidates, some of the things that we're struggling with is industry is trying to figure out what are those career pathways and what are those places where students want to go. Why? Because what they're finding is they're experiencing an exodus of employees who are retiring at a large pace. However, they are having challenges with finding workers to fill those positions. Not only are they having challenges with workers filling those positions, they're trying to redefine and understand what those positions look like. We've been talking about AI and technology and, you know, all of those things and what it will look like. What does the industry want and need? It's still grappling with. And so those are some of the same things as Dr. Ivory was talking about, why we're looking at new programs and what we're trying to experience. But while the industries are doing this, and while we are working with them, as some of our colleagues will talk about, here's what Wayne County has been doing about that. We, in meeting with workforce needs, what we found is some of that our highest producers in the industry are coming to us for CNC, computer numerical control, manufacturing jobs, nursing and healthcare, as you heard from one of our students, cybersecurity and in the IT fields, where they're pulling many of our students. Our students are defining success as this. They are entering the workforce and saying, I need to make more money, or I need to make money now. And if I'm going to school, I need for it to be affordable, and I need to exit with some type of credential that's recognized by the industry that legitimizes my experience. I may not have 2 years to accomplish that. I may or may not have 1 year to accomplish that. But if I'm in automotive, my employer says I can take 2 or 3 classes and I'm ready. And so what we modified is said, you know what, stackable credentials or college certificates, even in our areas of continuing education, are something that are looked at and being awarded by Wayne County Community College District, and industries are saying, we need that. An example, I was at a citywide career and education meeting where an industry partner in manufacturing was speaking about a field day that they have for high school students. But then he started talking about this one student who participated in a field study, did a summer internship, who had dropped out of high school. That means they had not completed their degree. But that the student was at Wayne County Community College District. And that student at Wayne County Community College District was earning a 4.0 in the CNC program. Before that student could get into the program, that means that student needed to complete their GED in order to enter. They couldn't go to a university to get that. Where did they come? They came to Wayne County, which was right in their neighborhood, who could address that. That student went on, so success was defined for that student to come back to school, the ability to come back to school, the ability to skill up those remediation needs that they may or may not have had, but to get them in an interest way. And now that student not only had that internship, 4.0 high school dropout from the public schools, and now is transferred to another university.
Brian, you have my permission. Let me keep going.
That prize is missing.
but I don't know. But with people, I don't know. When studies will look, will they say, well, is that success? Could we capture it? The four-year university might not be able to capture it. Or again, I'm at a meeting where it was the manufacturer which was profiling our students. Do we get to capture it with all the work that was done in there? And so what I'm not suggesting to you, but what we are pointing out to you is that we have to be about the business of recruiting, retaining students. We have to be innovative, and we must know something about what we're doing, because if we did not, we also are a part of a national study. We are only one of two community colleges in the state of Michigan that was asked to talk about success strategies on adult learners. They profiled us just so we can tell us what you're doing and how it works, because you serve such a wide encompass of students, because you are the largest community college district in the state, not just in the area of the county of the Wayne, but in the state. And so when we talk about academic preparedness of students, while nationally we're still trying to understand and grapple with what that means, when we talk about what does success means in terms of what a person obtains or whether they get employment, at the end of the day, I can just sum it up for you. It all means that here at Wayne County Community College District, underneath the Chancellor, Dr. Curtis L. Ivory, we must know a little something about what we're doing, because if we did not, then we would not have those students and have those partnerships as you heard tonight. And in conclusion, you would not have those students who did research, the postdoctoral students at the University of Michigan, identified a strain of a Rokinella bug, and that bug is now named WCCD67, because it was identified by community college students doing authentic research in conjunction with our university partners. I don't know, but I think that's a mic drop.
You don't know, you better ask him.
Thank you, Dr. Hines, as always, a great presentation. Because I want to be sensitive to time, and as I look around the room, and we have an outstanding guest we're going to introduce later, and I'll make some remarks, but I'm looking at the team here, and I'm always reminded of what a tremendous team we have. We're so fortunate, and when I think about at any level of success, we have to give credit where credit's due. And these people are doing some outstanding work. And I don't know who I'm going to ask to speak, because they all were well prepared tonight. But I wanted to, number one, recognize Dr. Rock, who's just doing an excellent job of putting the team together. The leadership has been built just across the district, working with the campuses, and we just appreciate so much. It's good work, is just appreciated. And he wanted to talk a little bit about syllabus tonight, and I still probably will let you do that, but I want to just kind of go through the room and just for a moment, and I'll make a decision in just a moment. But Dennis Carey, when we look at the outstanding work in distance learning, which is probably the modality of the platform of the future, in terms of how we deliver instruction, I don't think that those numbers are going to go away, and we couldn't do what we're doing without Dennis. And I just wanted the most informed leaders that we have. I would almost say young, but I can't call you young anymore. But Dennis is so informed. If you want to just know anything about distance learning, just have a conversation with him. Alan Cosmos, and Alan, we may have Alan talk a little bit about mobility. He's our mobility guru, and just doing a fantastic job throughout the district. And look at the schedule in the spring, for sure, you're going to see a lot of activity around mobility and some of the work we're doing with some outstanding national partners. the we all know what the good work. would say that Mr. Ahmed is working closely with the workforce team to really drive some of those important skill trades programs. I think that you all heard me say this before, but I think to start tonight and yesterday continues to be Dr. Singleton in terms of his unusual commitment to student success. And student success is huge. We can all talk about the barriers, we can talk about the program, we can talk about retention, recruitment, but you know, I don't really talk about any of those things without Dr. Singleton. But I'm going to give you an opportunity to pick one of those topics, because we're going to talk a bit more about what we're doing in terms of recruitment with the other teams coming forward, and you'll be a part of that. But in terms of Ed Affairs, student services in general, Dr. Singleton, you want to make a comment, then I'm going to let Dr. I would never get out of here alive if I didn't let Dr. Durant.
I'll keep it brief. What you heard today, what you're
going to do. I'll be good example for Dr. Hines.
What you heard today, what you continue to hear, that it's really about student engagement. Whether our students participating in an externship with the university, or whether they're part of one of the organizations that you heard, participating with Phi Beta Kappa or Tri Beta, whether they're getting an opportunity, as you hear, to engage with our faculty with office hours, and or whether the faculty are notating when to how well students are doing and notating their progress, or student services reaching out letting you know, this is what we found, how can we assist you? Maybe you need these support services. It's really all about student engagement. And we know that by students being engaged in class, they have a better chance to complete. I attribute that to a number of things, but one thing in particular is our partnerships, as Dr. Hines mentioned earlier, partnerships with the national organizations like Achieving the Dream. This organization, it dubs themselves the champion for community colleges. Of course, they believe that they transform communities by transforming community colleges. They work with colleges to create strategies to remove barriers to provide equal access to learning. One of the things you find in the information that we sent out is that one of the strategies that we've gotten from them, we've worked with them to develop, is a guided pathway. Where we have a four-pillar strategy. We're clarifying educational and career goals. We're helping students get on the path. We're keeping students on the path, and we're ensuring that there's learning happening in the classroom. We measure that by data points with our IE department, both inside and outside of the classroom. Whether it be surveys, whether it be grades, whether it be feedback from the faculty, we have the information that we need to reach out to the students and say, this is what we're seeing.
And you know, one of the things we do in multiple ways, and I know you, I don't want to interrupt you, but this intense intrusive advising is so, not unique, that's for sure, but in terms of our commitment and how intentional we are on an ongoing basis, it is something that to be discussed at some point. Not only do we, what we're doing internally, but the organizations we work with. We try to make contact with every student, even if they're not returning as a returning student, or they didn't register for a following semester. We are now on an ongoing basis reaching out to those students. We have different groups to work with. There are grants out there available to support those kinds of efforts. But something we've been doing for years, we're going to continue to do. But now that the grants that grant being made available at the state level, that's something we're going to be able to take advantage of in addition to what we're already doing. But I wanted to just mention that. I know we're doing a lot with Achieving the Dream, but Dr. Singleton and the team are already doing a lot of that through this notion of intrusive advising, ensuring that every student has some contact with an advisor every semester. And not only that, before they exit, a number of our faculty members are encouraging and allow students to come to, I advise to come to the classroom. So with that, you want to just expand on that and give you another 1 minute, and we're going to go to that.
Absolutely. So that's something that the Chancellor challenged us years ago, where before there were some of these strategies and programs and books that are out there, you know, that speak to it. we knew that we had to engage our students early on, and we had to engage with them often. Everything is from as simple as you're not doing well to your bill is due, you need to register for the next semester. There are services that are available, and we'll reach out to the students with timely services.
The best says about child care is we don't trust these guys.
We recommend for students who have the need, and that is another great point, Doc. Those need insecurities where students are coming to us with barriers, and if we're about removing those barriers, we need to cover the gamut. We need to cover as many as possible, and having resources that are available to students for child care where we can point them in the right direction, whether it be reduced or free, or just somewhere near finding a place near their home. But those are examples of some of the strategies that we put in place even before some of this, the books that are out there that are talking about it. Thank you, sir.
Guests. One of the things that Dr. Hines mentioned earlier is enrollment. A lot of institutions are struggling with enrollment, but the key to success for our students is retaining those students. And that's a very, very important thing that I think we do. And the faculty at Wayne County Community College District, working with educational affairs and working with student services, do an excellent job. And I'll give you a few examples of ways that our faculty really support retention. One, our course syllabi, faculty are required to have expected outcomes. And one of the things that we know in higher education, if students know what is expected of them, they have a better chance of being successful. And so our faculty are required to identify those expected outcomes. The other thing that we know in terms of best practices is that when students get the opportunity to get to know the faculty and the faculty get to know the students, students have a greater chance of being successful. Our faculty do that. They are required on the course syllabus to post office hours. And this is very, very important because students can reach out to faculty and come there and talk about things that will help them to be successful in the class. The other thing that we do is near the midpoint of the semester, we have a system we call early alert. And working with student services, what happens is educational affairs send out a communication to our faculty. Our faculty respond with information about students who are not doing very, very well. And so we get that feedback and we know who those students are. The other thing that makes Wayne County Community College District quite unique that really helps us with retaining students. Dr. Hines also mentioned earlier that we have over 80% of our students who are part-time. These students are working.
Not unique to us, nationally.
Yes, nationally, yes. But for Wayne County Community College, the part that's unique for us, we have a flexible schedule. Students, we have about four different periods, term one, two, three, and four, where students can take courses at different times in the semester. And this is very, very important for working, for people who are working and people who have children. The other thing that we do quite well is faculty, especially I've seen in the criminal justice discipline, they have field trips. And for best practices, tells us that when students can relate the real world through field trips with what they're experiencing in the classroom, they have a greater chance of success. And particularly with our adult students, who are kind of more like no-nonsense people. They want to see the relationship between what is in a classroom and what is happening in the real world. And that's very, very important to us. Another thing that's very, very important to help our faculty to know what our students' needs are is feedback. We conduct students' surveys of instruction every semester, not every other semester, every semester, where faculty are evaluating students give feedback in terms of the instruction of the faculty. The faculty take that information as well as educational affairs, student services, and say, look, these are the things that work well with our students. These are the things that do not work as well with our students. And so I think that Wayne County does an excellent job. Wayne County Community College District does an excellent job of making sure that faculty engage with student services and other divisions to ensure retention of our students.
You know, I would say we don't hear much anymore about late registration. And some of you may remember that that was something we never wanted to talk about, late registration. And have a statement related to that, but also we know that students register early, that the success rate was higher. And you just don't want to embrace the notion of students registering late. But we do know that no matter what we say and how long we talk about it, some students are simply going to register late. But so I think his team got really smart. See, him figured it out a lot faster than I did. We said, okay, why do we have all these semesters? I mean, semester one, semester two, semester three. And even semester four, I said, I know what that's about. Kim said, that's, notice we don't talk about late registration anymore. Let's talk about that semester three or semester four. Now, those are students that come late, but we don't call it late because we're there, we meet them where we need to meet them, and they're, and they, if we have 16 weeks or 15 and a half weeks as appropriate, and we do what we need to do. And I wanted to say that because we talk about that a lot, and I think we're quite continuous there, in fact, at the end of the time. So don't change anything. Let me ask Tony to talk a bit about MIPS, because that's absolutely the best program in the country. It really is. And I'm Tony, you can talk about the stuff you like, but I want you to say something about MIPS.
I look forward to the funding for the next 20 years. just to recap, if everybody's forgotten, this is the month that 19 years ago we cut the ribbon on that emergency training complex down at the Denver campus. And so we have been operating at warp speed from that day. Give you a good example, we cut the ribbon, and we were then finishing up fall prep, getting ready for spring startup, going into the holiday break, and over the holiday break, Dr. Ivory calls me up and says, do you know what a CERT team is? And I said, yeah, Citizens Emergency Response Team. So yeah, City of Detroit needs 500 people trained for the auto show and the Super Bowl, and they need it in 2 weeks. And we didn't have a piece of furniture in that building. We had nothing. The first two weekends of January, we ran 251 weekends, 250 people, trained them over the three-day period to prepare them. And that was our first inauguration to MIPSE. And after that, it just ran totally different. So some of the highlights, I just want to go over some highlights, because 19 years is a lot that we've done. Our probably most unique one that we had from firefighters and police officers come from Chengdu, China. These were officers at this, and that's a population of Chengdu is 11 million people in that community. And they came to MIPSE, out of all the places they could have picked in the U.S., they came to us for a couple good reasons. One is the uniqueness of our facility. We were the only facility, and we still are, the only community college that has an underground confined space maze. It has a water rescue pond. It has a aircraft simulator, a shipboard simulator, and it also has a car simulator, and it has a burn pad, and it had the hazardous material pad. And that was the interest for them, because they deal with all of that at Chengdu, China. And so they came here and they spent 2 weeks with us. We had interpreters, we actually converted our training materials into Chinese, and we just happened to have an LRC coordinator that was fluent in that area that helped us do that. It was a really good experience, and it put us on the national setting, and that was one of our big highlights that we have. The other one is we have been active with the state of Michigan and hosting statewide drills that are unique to the state of Michigan, and we have been selected as a site. One of them was the morgue emergency response team. I know that sounds really kind of different, but when there's a big disaster that has a lot of deaths, They have to be a special team. And they came out for a week and trained out at our facility to set it up so that they could practice with that. And so that is one of the experiences they had. The other one is we're the only community college in Michigan that is still approved for what's called point of distribution. It's called POD. And what that means, if we had ever had a crisis where we had to get medicine in people's hands or other supplies or something like that, they can do that. They selected us twice to be the state representatives for their drill team. We had an indoor session. They looked at our plan. They selected us to do an indoor pod so that if it was in the middle of winter, we could do it indoors. And then they had a summer one because we had a second plan that nobody else had that allows us to do a drive-through pod. So those are kind of the things that were put together for COVID. You remember drive-through testing and all that? Yes, that's where those point of distribution. And when we did COVID, let's be honest, we were the champions for Wayne County in COVID. We had three locations that did testing and provided vaccinations. We did that for a very long time. The other big thing that we have done over that period of time is we've had several FEMA emergencies down here in Wayne County, and we have been the hosting site of the FEMA teams. So they've been here for almost 2 months to help service those communities. So we have been dealing with the federal government, and that's one of the things. And they came back again because they liked how we handled everything and we had our emergency preparedness in place. So those are just some of the ways that we can look at statewide, a local level, as well as a national level of how that training complex has really generated our exposure within those communities. So the other thing that is, we have been over 30 years been state approved for Michigan for emergency medical responder, basic EMT, and paramedic training. So this college has for over 30 years has been state approved and for EMS instructor coordinator training. For over 30 years, we've been approved for that site. And we were the first community college to get approved for the National COAMP, Commission on Emergency Medical Services Providers. When the state changed that all paramedic programs had to be nationally accredited, we were the first community college to receive that communication here, that certification in the state of Michigan. So that puts us in a very unique spot for our EMS training. We also do firefighter training. So we are approved by the Michigan Firefighter Training Council to do Fire 1 and 2 training. So we have been doing that for 20 years here at the college, and that has been an opportunity for students to come to Wayne County to get their firefighter paramedic certifications and licensure, because that's what the local areas need for their fire departments. So we have been providing that service for over 20 years with both of those combinations. The other thing we got into was Homeland Security. So we do online Homeland Security courses. So that has been another add-on that we have. We found that we needed some of that. Some of the firefighters and that needed some specialized training courses, and we do provide those. So getting into workforce development, this is where we have really, for a couple decades now, have really expanded into training here at MIPC. One of the things that we have had is a long-standing relationship with DTE Fermi 2 Nuclear Power Plant. We have done their training for over 25 years. We started their training before we even built MIPC. So that has been a unique opportunity. We do all the fire suppression training with them in their confined space training. Then we picked up the fossil fuels now. There's fewer fossil fuel plants with DTE, but we do have a few that are left, and we continue to provide that training too. Marathon Oil, if everybody knows on I-75, the big Marathon Oil plant, we do all the workforce training for firefighting, confined space for that facility with them, and the hazardous materials. One of the things that surprised us was the amount of federal agencies that we were starting to partner with. This was probably about 15 years ago, and now we do all the federal agencies. Being a border state, we really got involved with the federal agencies because of the U.S. Customs and response teams. So we now do their special response team do all the training with us and their canine dogs. We are big with the canine dogs, both with border customs and border protection. So that is one big area that we do. The FBI is another one that we have regular business with the FBI, and they do the emergency response teams, and they do the canine dogs, and they do drones now. One of the new things that we are doing at MIPSE, especially the last 5 years, is drone training with those agencies. So that is one of the biggest new tools that the departments are using, and I think it's going to be expanded into the county as well as the local police departments very soon. And so with the FBI, we did one national anti-terrorism training. It was an outdoor training. It was really kind of unique. They brought two helicopters in from Quantico for that training for the weekend. And so what they had is an outdoor with all the agencies. They had the state agencies here in Michigan. They had the local county, Wayne County Sheriff, and they had the local police, the Taylor Police, all working on a kind of a training session, strategic commands structure. So they brought all their equipment in for that particular training. So we are still doing a lot with Detroit FBI here locally.
US? And we're especially nice to the FBI.
We are very nice. And we've learned a lot. The FBI, having these, and there's a few more I'm going to mention, having these resources goes beyond that. It allows us to tackle their specialty areas and just normal discussions. Or if we need a favor, we need to call them for things, they have always responded back to the college, immediately given us all the necessary resources. If they weren't the agency, they put us right in charge of the person that we needed to contact. So it was really, it's been a long time for us. I don't know if you know, Medicare has a special response team, like a SWAT team. So they train out at our location. And the U.S. Postal Service also has a SWAT team. They do train regularly at our location. So these are the federal agencies that on a regular basis that train at MIPSE. Now, when we say training at MIPSE, we're talking from May through the end of October. When winter comes, they like to come in and do indoor training. Like we can do the canines indoor, we can do a few others, but most of the training is done during that period of time. So the state agencies, we have the Michigan State Police. You know, we have Detroit Post and we have one in Taylor, so they come out regularly. What we have done with the state police is the motorcycle group. They do their new officer training as well as their recertification training out at MIPSE for their motorcycles. But they also include the bomb squad. So they bring out their bomb robots and train at our facility. So we have a lot of props out there on the hazardous material pad. We have a rail car, we have a tanker, we have a couple cargo vehicles out there. So they actually practice with those robots with the cameras and everything. To practice out there.
I don't think I'm going to be without standing, Tony.
Yeah. And they're big on the drone training also.
Man, we serve over 25,000 students annually. I mean, that's a small number. This is huge. And let me say, Tony, we've had a friendly walk for several years relative to MIPSE.
Which is Michigan Institute for Public Safety Education.
Right, and I've always said, you know, we got to put, I want to make sure our constituencies understand that's us, you know, and so I said, Tony, let's just change it to just Wayne County Community College Public Safety Training, and I can't convince them, so I gave up. I said, okay, Tony, leave it as it is, but they have just done a tremendous job. I can't say enough about that.
One more thing to wrap up. I can talk about the county and local services still using the dive team and everybody, but the high schools. Those two students that we talked earlier, they're from the Downriver Career and Technical Consortium. It's a partnership that we have. We do the law enforcement correction dual enrollment, a two-year program. That's where they're from. We have dual enrollment programs at the DCTC, which is the group they're from. We have now basic EMT and firefighting dual enrollment. At William D. Ford, we have basic EMT and firefighting.
And there's not a program in the state that can compete with our EMT program.
Right.
Not one.
And we have the Detroit Public Safety Academy here in Detroit. We do the basic EMT and the fire program. And we have the Taylor Career Center. We're doing basic EMT. So we are not just doing high school students. We're taking our students through the academics. And then they all come back here for retraining through workforce. So it's been one big retention effort here for this thing. And then all the other continuing education uniqueness is we do have an open house. We do a Boy Scout public safety bear badge camp out there this summer. So there's a lot of other things that we do at MIPSE.
And I would especially, especially if I might, I just want to say before I forget, that the fact that Tony is here tonight is more than special. His wife was in an accident. In fact, he called me from the hospital's emergency room, and I wanted him to stay there with her, but he was determined to be here tonight, and so I want to just thank him for doing that. And he did tell me his wife was
I have been to the MIPSI headquarters, you know, quite often. I think if the trustees have not been there, it's really an eye-opening what the college does. And I would recommend everybody going there. I love MIPSI because I have, can I say it?
No,
don't go ahead. That works there, so I hear all about MIPSI all the time. Anyway, I recommend everybody going and take a tour and go there.
Thank you. And I'm not standing because we're cleaning, because we have standing because I got bad back. Dr. Hosmus, you've got a lot to say, but I'm going to save it for the next agenda. It's so important that we talk about mobility, and I want to rush through that important agenda. So,
I do want to touch on a statement that you made earlier, and you made this statement probably a thousand million times in your career, but you tell this to us all the time in our academy meetings. Meet the students where they are. And I think that is so critical. That statement has so much value, and that's how I approach my support services at Business Learning. We meet their students where they are. The population of students that have gained interest in online classes, only taking online classes, the only way they're going to be successful if we meet them where they are. And I think we're doing a great job doing that in online learning, and I don't want to take too much time, Doc. I know I can talk hours about online learning, but I did want to make that statement. That statement you made earlier is so critical, and it has so much value, and everybody should approach the way they support students.
You know, and I know they won't get into it tonight, but maybe by the next meeting we're going to be able to share with you the huge project that we have in place at the University Center, as well as the Center for Learning Technology. We come at a virtual campus. We're so excited about it, and we're going to be able to talk more about it at our next meeting, but that has it's almost cliche to say something is transformational, but this is truly transformational. It's meet the students where they are, but where we are now, in terms of how students and learn and embracing the technology, this is going to make a huge statement. So we're excited about it. We'll talk more about it. And wanted to do a little bit tonight, but thought we'd save it for our next meeting, because we'll be well into it by then, and I didn't want to get in front of the trustees on this one. Particularly, because it's in the district, and I wanted to be in a better position to embrace the topic that we're coming next week.
I want to say, what energy, okay? What commitment, okay? And that's the team that you brought, and the team effort, and everybody here should shake their hand and applaud each other, because all of you are our team, and I'm very, very impressed with the team, okay, with your energy. Very good.
Are there any other further discussions or questions on this? If there are
none. Yes, you can, sir.
You know, I'm 82 years old, so I've been around here for a little while. And I worked for the city of Detroit. I was deputy city clerk for a number of years. And I found that life is about relationships. And I'm so impressed with the relationship that Wayne County Community College has with the citizenry of the city of Detroit. You know, I heard some time ago somebody said, Rolling Stones was the best rock group in the world. They weren't the best rock group in the world. They were the best promoted rock group in the world. And your promotion and marketability provides opportunity for citizens here in the city of Detroit that they can't get someplace else. And I'm so impressed with what I've heard and what you're doing. Thank you for the good work.
We're not moving away from the first level. It's just a different move.
I just felt that.
Are there any other questions, comments, or concerns? Thank you.
Thank you.
I guess we go to finance.
Yes.
And then we'll come back.
Let me finish up. Since we don't have any other questions, comments, or concerns on this topic, can I get a motion to receive the information as reported?
So moved.
Second.
Moved and supported. Good deal. Are there any all yays?
Yes.
Any nays? Thank you. Let's close this committee at this point. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. The next committee to present to the board will be the Finance, Personnel, Facilities Standing Committee, chaired by Trustee Karen Scott. Ready to begin?
No gavel. Everybody together yet? Good evening, everyone. We are ready to start the committee reports on the Finance, Personnel, Facilities Standing Committee. The first item on the agenda is G5, Status of Legal Issues. Kim, you can give us a report on that one.
Nothing. No new cases have been filed, and we have one case that remains in summary disposition. The next item is G6, Investment Report as of October 31st, 2024.
So as you may recall from our last meeting, the Federal Reserve Board decreased the interest rate 5 basis points last quarter and a quarter of a basis point, 0.25, just the day before yesterday. So the current interest rate is 4.5% to 4.75%. The economists are predicting their rates will continue to decline because the Federal Reserve Board is looking to initiate a control of inflation at a target rate of 2%. Since the interest rate will continuously be coming down over the next few months, it's important that we take advantage of interest rates that are current. The one-year rate is 3.75, dropping from a 5% rate at the beginning of 2024. Two-year rates will be about 3.85, and the 3 to 5-year rate is about 4.1 to 4.2%. So as we implement an efficient cash flow plan to cover current operating expenses, we'll be investing more long-term funds to take advantage of the higher interest rates.
G8, comparison of budget to actual expenditures year to date for fiscal year 2025 as of October 31st, 2024.
The group variances, trustees, our tuition revenue was up about 12% over last October of last year, which is phenomenal. We conservatively budgeted for about 3%, and we're up 14% actually. The decrease in unrealized investment gain loss, the last item in the revenue section at the top half of your report. The decrease in the unrealized gain is because of the lower market interest rates that will start to incur, and we had already taken advantage of the increase of the portfolio, the overall valuation of the portfolio had increased, and we will take advantage of that. This is all a book value entry. It means it has no bearing on actual dollars. There are no significant variances in expenditures on the bottom half of the report. Often our variances are represented by timing differences. So we paid a large contract amount before case, these reports are as of October of each year. So often it's a timing difference. We paid it before October or we paid it after the 31st. So everything there, I don't see any significant variances to discuss. Other than the third from the bottom, the pension OPEB liability expense. The pension liability is a decrease in fiscal year 24. This is a state actuarial prescribed formula that we record part of the pension benefit of the state that is applicable to us. They prescribe that amount to us. It's a prescribed formula. As a result, we're currently overfunded. You'll see at 1.65. We reported no liability expense this year because our liability was reduced.
Does anyone have any questions on any of these agenda items?
I have one. Unrealized investment loss or gain.
Yes.
The rejection that is falling interest rate.
Yes, part of the falling interest
rate.
Yes.
Anyone else? Okay, moving on to item G9, general grants and contracts.
Again, tuition revenue is up 14% this year, which is phenomenal. We're ecstatic about that. The state on property taxes, we don't start to receive property taxes until January of 2025, and the UAAL will start to receive in November of 2024. Again, no significant variances from the budget. This represents 4 years of activity, so just about slightly into the second quarter of the year.
Any questions on this item? Moving on to agenda item G10, accountability and transparency, staffing update.
With that, may what do we just deal with that for fund under the AFP contract?
Okay, so moving on. Emergency preparedness.
Just give you a brief update. We have successfully completed the critical incident mapping program. Hopefully, maybe in the future, we could bring that exhibit into the board to show you that. So that has been completed as of last week. One of the things that we are working on is just doing a district-wide review of emergency equipment. We're focusing on the AEDs and the stop the bleed boxes that we have throughout the buildings, just double-checking everything on that. Campus police authority does help on monthly inspection. We're just double-checking battery expiration dates and those minor little things that we're just double-checking on. So that's what we're going to spend the rest of this time. And then over the holiday break, we will then look at all the fire suppression equipment. That includes the sound alarm, it includes the fire pumps and the fire doors. Will all be inspected over the holiday break because they have very little impact to operations.
That's the first time I've ever seen the blood stopping thing. Those are just newer, aren't they?
No, they've been up for a while and never active shooter took place.
Right.
So within those boxes are trauma tourniquets as well as large bulk dressing in case we have an incident. So they're packed full with those kits in there, just in case.
That's a good idea, yeah. Okay, any other questions on these agenda items? Seeing none, I would like to make a motion to receive these information reports. Could I have a motion, please?
So moved.
Support.
It has been moved and supported. Could I have having a senior moment here. Any yays? All yays?
Okay.
No nays. Okay. Motion has been passed. Thank you. Okay. thank you, Dr. Ivory. We can now vacate the chair for the next meeting.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our next meeting will be convening the board to receive the recommendations as presented. Mr. Chair.
My turn. Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, committee chairs, for those reports. May I have a motion to reconvene the regular board to consider recommendations under the full board? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Chancellor, are you ready for the path to re?
We can, I don't think we need to change the table on the side. So I think what we're gonna do, we're trying to figure out how we're gonna do, we're gonna move with your portion first of the line, or we're gonna move with the.
Whichever is your preference, Dr. Ivy.
I'm thinking of which is best. Why don't we move you out, and let me, then we'll bring you back to close it out. So why don't we ask Michelle and Brian and you know who you are. This is the power team here. These are the people that they're making it happen. We know now that social media is what students are about, and we've been able to embrace social media as we talked about, particularly recruiting, and it's been fun to watch them operate in terms of all the different platforms, whether it's TikTok or YouTube or Facebook. And we've discovered that our students are involved with Facebook, so we're able to do some huge recruitment. And you know, less than a time in terms of our activity with Facebook, because students, they contact us when they're having problems, and they also let us know when they like what we're doing. But they certainly make us aware of things that they want us to take a look at, and if they're not getting a response, then they let us know. And we just want to be responsive and responsible, using those appropriate platforms to be able to respond to them. I so like what we're doing with social media, which ties into our website, which we'll be talking about. I wanted to I don't know how you want to approach this, Brenda. We want to share with the board and our stakeholders and audience some of the 30-second pieces we've been doing. Brian has pushed that because of our relationship relative to the Reconnect program. And we wanted to let students know the opportunities under Reconnect. And this has been great for us. Yes. You want to talk about that first, and then we can introduce, I don't know how you want to do it with Michelle, or I'll let you all talk about that. Certainly we want to hear from you also relative to, you know, IT, and tell us what we should be doing with our phones and our computers, and not doing with all of the games out there now that we got good into. But let me just ask you to move forward again.
Okay, so just briefly, just an example of the Reconnect. This was an example of how, Dr. Ivy, when you put this team together, how we can respond. We initially heard students didn't feel like they were going to be able to participate with Reconnect, and then it came down because it was in a Reconnect expansion. But, you know, we don't grab the students while they're there, we move them. Well, now that there's a Reconnect expansion and it's open to 21 to 24-year-olds, we have to get that population back. Well, I said we had to give the example and give some of the particulars about what we need to do and where the need is. So Ms. Amer, she engaged the team. We've gone back and forth about what's the best way. We come up with a 30-second clip, and we started to see students initially just respond to it right away. Then we set up tables on campus because they started to come to campus. So it's a very quick turnaround. We know there's a need. They hear from us, some of the divisions, the campuses, of what's going on, what where the need is, and we enact a team, and it's fluid and it works very well, especially with the communication back and forth, as Dr. Ivan mentioned. Students will tell you what they don't do and don't like, and we respond.
We're fortunate to have Michelle, who's the best in this design, and you all know that. We put her in, I'm sure she'll make some comments in a moment, just upon the comments.
So what we do have for you to make is just a brief few minutes of clips of social media reels that have received the most engagement here in the district. So the unique thing about this is, you know, we talked about meeting students where they are. And with this social media platform, we can meet students where they are, because when we post a video and we want to engage with our students and we want to engage with the district community, we are able to not only engage with them, but we're also able to assess how successful we are.
What about the metrics? You want to go to the metrics?
Sure.
Before we get to them, because I was just amazed at how many activity. You want to share some of that?
So just as far as the social media reels are concerned, with some of these social media reels, we see that within a matter of days, we have thousands and thousands of views. Just alone for our Wayne County Community College District website, for the month of October, we had 274,000 hits. Out of those hits, 49,000 of those visitors were new visitors. We had visitors from over 108 different countries. So these students, these visitors are coming to our website, they're seeing us on social media, they're reading our emails, so we are able to meet them where they're at. So we have amazing platforms to be able to reach and engage with students with a click.
And if you have any doubt about that where we are in terms of the COVID and the transformation in terms of demographics and the downtown campus, you just wouldn't know it anymore. It's so wonderfully diverse. I mean, we've always strived for that, but we're there. We've arrived in terms of that. Embracing that diversity is huge. And I'm suspecting, Michelle, that a lot of what we're doing on social media has a lot to do with how we transform that location. But probably for us, you want to say a word too about that before you?
Briefly, because I think Dr. Singleton, and you've heard the messages about how we meet students where we are, but and how we leverage technology to get their comments in. But that would not be as successful as it is if it were not for the personal touch, that personal communication. We don't use AI to respond to students when they do reach out. An actual person receives that message and gives it to the team that you see here. And once they are in that system, usually we can solve their problem within 8 hours, same day, most of the time. But now that they have our attention, we're going to make sure that they get access to the opportunities that they came here for originally. So we're meeting them where they are, that we are talking to them in ways that are meaningful to them, and we are giving the opportunity that they desire respect in terms of carrying the ball forward and helping them every step of the way to when they are in that program. And that's what is so meaningful to me about leveraging the technology, is that really it's about the people that are talking and surrounding that student with services and support and real answers that are meaningful to their life to help them take that next step forward.
You know what I like? Well, one of the stories I like to tell, and that's real and I see it every day, is the students via social media have transformed our student grade appeal process. I mean, if they don't like those grades, I mean, the next day they're telling us they want to meet with faculty X or Dr. Singleton to talk about their grade. I mean, I'm okay with that, but certainly got our attention. And I know that on an ongoing basis, Dr. Garage is meeting with his team trying to refine the grade appeal process. Thank you to our students, right? So, yes. And thank you to the interaction we have with the close interaction we have with our. With the social media. And we know what Facebook is the number one platform of choice for our students, and it's huge.
It makes us accessible because students feel comfortable reaching out to us, and we are responsive, and they know that we're responsive because we get back to them, like Michelle had mentioned, right away. So it's very comforting and knowing that the students feel that they can reach out to us and that they know that we're being responsive.
Let's see some of our work.
And I'd like to make just a brief comment about the videos that you'll see them, that some are full screen and some are small screen, and that's because we gauge those videos to be responsive to students. So some were made for them to be able to view right from your phone, some, you know, so that's why you'll see the videos of different sizes.
Welcome to the Language Institute.
I found my voice.
I found my community.
To everyone, it's available 24/7. They really do care about your well-being.
Thank you.
that's just the way we're probably that many more. On a weekly basis, we develop the content for a presentation workshop. It's just one of my things, and one we're really excited about because it's a part of our brand, and students relate to it, we relate to it, and I just think they do a tremendous job. What I don't want to talk about doing tonight, but we probably, given where we are on with our website, we can come back to that. And I would suggest we, I know Bill wanted to share, you want to share those documents with the board tonight. Just share it with them, because that's something that they can take home and read. Just so, when most of you know what to do and what not to do, when to open your phone, your messages, it looks weird, don't open them. We've had a lot of issues with attempted fraud engagement relative to our system here, and we've been out front, we've been very successful with blocking any real advances, and that's thanks to the work that IT is doing. So what my recommendation is, because we have trustee, Mr. Chair, because we have the IT contract on the agenda, we can lay from that some of the other comments we plan to make back that we not want, and then we need some of this for the next 14 minutes. So then I'm going to, if you are okay, I'm going to bring Tim back to close out the presentation. Now, we don't necessarily, the capital improvement activity from
recommendations, finance/audit. Number 12, Office of Workforce Development Grants and Contract Training. A, Federal Pell Grants. B, Federal Supplemental Educational Opportunity Grants. C, Federal Work Study Grants. D, Perkins Local Leadership Grants. E, Carl Perkins Vocational and Technical Program Grant. 13, Procurement. Consideration of bids. A, Curtis Elizabeth Health and Wellness Education Center Locker Room Alterations Project. 14, Professional Services. District Document Retention/Data Management and Risk Assessment Analysis. 15, Professional Services, District Document Retention/Data Management and Risk Assessment Analysis. 15, Audit Financial Statement, Fiscal Year 2023/2024. 16, Management Letter slash response fiscal year 2023-2024. Before we get a vote on that, I want to make a comment on the procurement.
13.
Okay. I know that Jacob Keeley, you want to just stand. I wanted to just commend Jacob. I don't know, he's kind of a quiet force in the institution in terms of, he's a driving force for the level of quality that we have relative to our procurement process to ensure. And I talk with the board, and look like the board here, all of you are you're determined and very intentional about participation, and I know that's a discussion we have often in terms of ensuring that we have true involvement in terms of the whole vending process, the procurement process. We try like the devil to reach out to all parts of our district for involvement, and I think we've done a really good job. And I would just commend Jacob for his good work there. We know that there's always room for improvement, but I'm thinking to work at that. We're doing now with an audit to ensure that we have. And this is a term that Dr. Mrs. Saeed will come up with, that maybe you'll have a chance at some point. But we're looking at that to make sure that we have the participation. And I'm always, the board is always making me aware of opportunities for broad participation. I appreciate that. And I can assure you that that's something we're committed to. Full transparency, open participation at every level. And I would just commend Ms. Kelly for that, and certainly Kim's leadership. We are constantly looking for ways to improve how we deliver those services. And a lot of that activity is through the facility, working facilities, and I just wanted to say that because this is so important, and I know that you all expressed a desire to ensure that all of our stakeholders throughout the district at some level will always participate in the process. You have our commitment to that.
Chair, can we take some of these separate? Can we take like 15 and 16 and then do 12 and then 13 and 14 to pass them? Make the motion? Yeah, okay. Then I would make a motion on 15 and 16 first, okay? As recommended by the staff, recommended by acceptance by the Board of Trustees of the audit financial statement for fiscal year 2023-24, which has been prepared by the district's external auditors, Gregory Terrell and Company CPAs. I would also include with that recommend acceptance by the Board of Trustees the management letter response for fiscal year 2023-24, which has been prepared by the district's external auditors, Gregory Terrell and Company CPAs.
Support. All in favor?
Aye.
Nay. Opposed. Motion passes. Thank you. Am I on to the letter J?
Yeah. Oh, we got to do the rest of ours.
Oh, wait a minute. We got what about? Okay. 12 through 14, right? May I have a motion to approve the recommendation?
So moved. Support.
Been moved and supported. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes. Thank you. On to letter J. Accountability / transparency reporting. 17 through 24. May I have a motion to accept J 17 through 24?
So moved.
Support.
Been moved and supported. The motion to accept the report passes. Okay, letter K, unfinished business. There is no unfinished business. L, new business, agreement between WCCCD and AFT Local 200.
I can comment on that. If you consider this a good contract, well thought out, I'll take total responsibility. It was a poorly negotiated contract. I'm going to give Kim and Brooke one off credit. So,
this is a nice contract.
Mr. Mitchell, come in. Yeah.
We, in the last several months, we've gone through a lot of negotiation sessions, a lot of robust conversations, intense conversations, but I stand before you and to inform you that we fulfilled our fiduciary responsibility, as well as I think it acknowledges our unwavering commitment to our faculty. Before you, you see a contract that is 3 years. If approved, it commences January 1st of 2025, and it goes through December 31st, 2027. So if there's any question, I'll be able to answer any question, but it is straightforward and speaks for itself.
I have a question. This contract that you is relative to other community colleges, is that correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. Also, within the physical responsibility companies, we have the money to pay these contracts?
That's the important part of the process that even as we negotiated on Saturday, I've had Mr. Carroll inform that one thing that on an ongoing basis, I talked about our fiduciary responsibility and also whether we could afford this, not in this moment, but what it look like 3 years from now. We knew we could do it this year, but we have a fixed cost that would go well into, over 3 year period. So to answer your question, yes. And the next question I had, what did other schools negotiate? I wanted to know that as I talked to several members on the negotiating team, including Tony, who should be a very busy, he was a part of the negotiating team as well. But those are the questions asked on a routine basis. What does it look like at other institutions? Well, we look pretty good, because some schools far exceeded what we were able to do here in terms of the, across the board. See, across the board numbers were quite high. I think one of the things that I'm probably pretty proud of, the fact that we had that the example received 4%, and so we did better for the faculty, and that was, I think, a pretty good thing. But to answer your question, Trustee, yes, I don't think that most of the institutions did better in terms of the numbers. It's relative to, I shouldn't say better, it's a different number. But you would be proud of where we are. We wouldn't be embarrassed.
I am, that's why I asked the question. Mm-hmm. I know it's difficult negotiating because different people have different revenue sources and different people. And I do salute the negotiating team, and I do salute the negotiating team for the AFT to understand our issues. So thank you both.
Any other questions?
I'd make a motion.
I got a question.
Okay.
Looking at the part contract, we increased another 1.5. Can you share with me how did we get to the 1.5 over the 3 years? How did we get there?
It's because it's the number of part-time faculty raw numbers and said, okay, let's talk about what happened with the part-time faculty members. Well, we, number one, we break the bank. We couldn't afford it. Numbers are too huge. So that would be the first thing to say. But more than that, the adjunct faculty represent a second job or second career, and most of our adjunct faculty salaries would be, they consider their primary job would be so much more than what our full-time faculty salaries represent. And it's just a number that, in fact, they were more supportive of the 1.5 than, I guess I could say they addressed the school at least, probably. I guess I put a little bit
of the tentative agreement between Wayne County Community College and Wayne County Community College Federation of Teachers, AFT Local 2000, yeah, okay. The contract beginning January 1st, 2025, and ending for 3 years, as submitted by the negotiating team.
I support that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, letter M, public comment.
Okay. Mr. Chair, we are delighted this afternoon or this evening to have with us a special guest. And we will open her on the public comment, which normally gives 5 minutes for someone to speak. But because of who she is, we are extending an additional 5 minutes. And it's just great.
Press one to
any
questions or comments or feedback that you have for me. So the MCCA is the association that represents Michigan's 31 community colleges. We include all 28 public community colleges, but also include as members Michigan's 3 tribal colleges. I report to a board of 62 members. We represent both presidents and trustees of the association, and so I serve as the spokesperson and advocate for our 31 colleges, including all presidents and trustees. Our mission is to be the unified voice for Michigan's community colleges and to really empower our members, which are the colleges, to lead in the areas of student success, talent development, and community vitality. The unified voice part of our mission is incredibly important. As you can imagine, we are headquartered in Lansing. A big, big part of what the association does is advocacy in the State House with our legislature and the governor's office and the administration. To the extent possible that all 31 colleges can speak with one voice about our priorities, about our asks, about our positions on important policy issues, it goes a really long way in helping achieve our collective advocacy goals. And then secondly, the empowering members piece. I think it's important to remember that the colleges themselves are the leaders in the state, and we're really just the capacity builders to help them in any way to achieve their own goals. As you all know, Michigan has the most decentralized non-system of higher education in this whole country. All of our public institutions are autonomous from each other and from the state largely, and so it provides, which is a great thing, it provides a lot of flexibility so that community colleges in particular can be hyper-responsive to the needs of your local communities. As I mentioned, policy and advocacy is our top priority. I'm a registered lobbyist for the community colleges, and we provide real direct advocacy services. I literally came here from Lansing, where there was a Senate Appropriations Committee. One thing that was mentioned in one of the presentations was Reconnect Expansion to help. We have this temporary expansion to allow students who are 21 to 24 to access the Michigan Reconnect program, which provides a tuition-free pathway to an associate degree for our adults. We have been working on a bill with Senators Sarah Anthony to make that expansion permanent. And so it's a really just timely example of our advocacy and work, and we got that through on a bipartisan vote in the Senate Appropriations Committee just a couple of hours ago. And we've achieved some pretty significant investment wins, which is really what our advocacy agenda focuses on, is centering state investment into our institutions of higher education. Beyond policy and advocacy, as Chancellor Ivory mentioned, we do focus quite a bit on student success and being a technical assistance provider to our institutions to help them implement evidence-based best practices to ensure that more students are succeeding and are completing degrees or certificates or transferring to four-year institutions. So there's a great body of work there. We provide some traditional member services, including professional development for our members, and then really just serve as a vehicle for collaboration across colleges. Like I said, we are hyper decentralized. In most states, there's a community college system that is often dictated or led by the state. We don't have that, but the association can provide a really vital role in being the connective tissue between institutions, helping to provide a vehicle for college presidents in particular, but all levels of staff to collaborate with each other meaningfully. We're headquartered in Lansing. We have a team of about 9 that focus on the work of the MCCA. And it's just a real privilege and honor to advocate on behalf of the incredible work of our community colleges. I would encourage trustees to get more involved in the MCCA. We have a Governance Leadership Institute coming up next month on December 5th and 6th in Lansing, which is a real gold standard training for board members to consider. We also do a large summer conference at the end of July that all trustees are certainly welcome to attend. with that, I wanted to keep my comments brief. I know it's a late evening and you've had many presentations, but I would be happy to expound on anything or go deeper on anything that the trustees are interested in. Again, thank you so much for inviting me to your campus and to your community.
Thank you. I think we should be consistent with how we do the public comment in our legislation. So we won't do for the next issue.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, letter N. Individual trustee reports. Trustee Edmonds.
Okay. Thank you, Colleen, on it, and this has been a very informational packed meeting, which I enjoyed. I also want to follow up a little bit on Randy, but I don't want to call you Randy.
You can call me Randy. Please do, Randy.
Johnson, whatever that was, yeah. Because I spread something today that I think it plays right into what you just talked about. And let me just find it here. It's on my phone. Of course, it's on my phone. So this was in a national newspaper today. And they're talking about the economy and all the things that are going to be changing and what's going on. And this is from Glenn Hubbard. Glenn Hubbard is an advisor in several administrations. He's an economist. He's very well known and very well respected. Says this, and I think this is just the start of the dialogue, and it follows on what you said. Opportunity is also a pillar of the awakening that's linking previous remarks to this remark. Community colleges are an underfunded source of skill building and mobility. As Austin Goolsbee, economist, Amy Gans, and I proposed in the 2019 report, a modest federal block grant to support community colleges on the supply side to the schools, rather than a demand side emphasis on financial aid, can help these schools push more Americans toward better jobs by working with local employers on skill needs and curriculum development. Targeted aid to places with depressed economic activity can help distribute opportunity to communities better than one size fits all Washington directed programs. And I think you're an embodiment of exactly what he's talking about right here. So it's a nice dovetail, a little a good happenstance here. I think they.
Serendipitous.
Serendipitous. And those are my remarks. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. Trustee Holliday.
I'm very good at that. So, and I just said it.
Your shirt says it. Okay, Trustee Rahman.
Thank you. I have a little bit to say. like I agree, under your leadership, the presentations that we received were really impressive. The students that came down here and did the presentation earlier, including the audit committee. Myself involved with audit, so I know it's a lot of work, so good job, everyone. The video post, Facebook, you know, I think is really important, and that we're, you know, 108 countries, is that what I heard? That's really good, because, you know, people hearing about us and from China, you know, that's really good to hear. I had the opportunity to, I missed the last meeting, so I'm just updating a little bit on the our school participated in Bangladeshi American Festival, and I want to shout out to Halima Mohiuddin. She did a great job. 2 days she was there, and all the support she received from the staff. And she had her brother. I thought he was a staff. He was carrying stuff over because she couldn't park nearby. So I want to, you know, I want to shout out to, you know, make sure that she gets this.
Sure.
Her brother was visiting here for a weekend. 2 days he spent for the event, so that was really great. And we had the Bangladeshi, the culinary, it was a cultural event. I attended on the second. So it was really well attended, nicely done under Victor Mukuna.
Mukuna?
I'm sorry. And then it was, I know Mr. Furkan and I are talking about expanding it to Northwest campus, maybe, you know, thinking differently so that we will get more participation. The Brandy Johnson, thank you for coming and sharing the information. What are the dates of the training?
Yeah, December 5th and 6th in Lansing.
And we need to pre-register or?
Yes, and I've sent it to the chancellor.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's my fault.
Trustee Scott?
Yes, I was not here at the last meeting, but I was busy doing the college work at another function that I thought was important for me to go to. And also, you know, our time does not end tonight at the meeting with all the trustees. We are always out and about in the community doing things and trying to promote the college. So I think that's a very important thing that we should be doing, which I try to do since I'm a trustee, and I work hard at it, so I'm sure that it is very rewarding. And I also want to commend Roy Edmonds. It's a beautiful article.
Yeah.
And it shows what a great leader is and what great leaders we have on this board. And that he's one of the great leaders that we have on this board, of all of us, of all the nine we have. So anyway, that's all I have.
Trustee Edwards.
Oh, you got it right this time.
I got it right.
You didn't marry me off. I went home and talked about it. Because I was looking for my husband-in-law.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. Again, I can only say, chime in on what everyone has said today. We have had a full packed day today, and that just adds up to the end of the year. And we do such magnificent work with such magnificent people under the leadership of Dr. Curtis L. Ivory, and I am very appreciative to be a part of that. Trustee Scott just said, when you don't see us here, don't be mistaken that we're not in the community still doing work that promotes Wayne County Community College District on all levels. It is not anything that Wayne County Community College District posts that I don't repost, and I don't repost, and I don't repost, and I don't send to groups across state lines to say that we are here and that we are here championing the success of our students. Small personal disclosure, I am a Wayne County Community College grad. I have 3 degrees from Wayne County Community College District that set me up for a new success when the market crashed in 2008. When that market crashed, I had no idea in what direction I was going to go in. My husband started to go to school, and I followed him into school in Wayne County Community College District with my pathway into a new success that redefined my life far beyond what I thought it could be. That they championed me in the 3+1 program, the study abroad program, that I went on to Marygrove, I went on to Madonna. And I will tell you that in the 4 years that I spent getting my bachelor's degree, I didn't spend a dime getting it because Wayne County Community College District championed me to every bit of success. That the first degree I rode across in a wheelchair. The second degree I was on a wraparound walker. The third degree I was on a side walker. When I got to my master's degree, I didn't even know how to walk off the stage. Nobody was there to take me across. Because Wayne County Community College District looked at me one day and I was struggling with my walker, trying to get my book bag, and there was a staff member that walked up to me and said, I bought something for you. And I said, bought something for me? And they had a book bag that hooked to my walker. That championed me to, I was so glad to be able to get this piece to give back to what's been so freely given to me and my family. Right now we have, at Mitzi, one of my grandsons there in the fire. I have a set of twins that are dual enrolled right here at Wayne County Community College District. My oldest daughter decided she was not going back to school and realized she was the only one on our degree wall that didn't have anything. She graduated from Wayne County Community College District last year. When I tell you this institution is a champion of all champions, this is a start, a finish, and a new beginning for more people than we can ever imagine. So you tell me what success looks like. That's what this is about. This is exactly what this is about. I would be remiss to sit on that information and act like we have not done a tremendous job, not only in the city of Detroit, but across country lines,
city lines, state lines, community lines, period. We are bridging the gap to be the champion that our students need. And that's what we need to continue to do. And I just want to say to all of you all, this is our last meeting for the year. Have a happy holiday season if you celebrate. Don't forget that there's somebody out there struggling. When you have enough, be good enough to pass it on. Thank you.
Very good.
Trustee Wagner.
I can't follow along. I will just say two things. I'm glad to be here. Happy Thanksgiving and holidays to all you people that are here and work at the Wayne County Community College. And you really got the energy. I really appreciate that. To the chancellor, I need to talk to Brandy because I'd like to get involved in things. Networking is everything. I'm still involved in Michigan Municipal League and a couple of committees, so I've got time to do that, so I would like to get involved. And to all of you that's sitting here, it was an interesting meeting tonight. So thank you for doing what you did. Chancellor, you got a great team.
Yeah, thank you. And then, you know, the board would want to let me work with you on how we move forward because, you know, you want to make sure you have one board. And that's important to do.
My turn. As a Vietnam veteran, combat veteran, I've joined the American Legion. I've been a member of the American Legion for 25 years now. And we have a program called Boys State. I think I've told you about that before. But I'm so appreciative of Dr. Ivory getting involved with that and furnishing some opportunities for Boys State, which helps our democracy, amen? And I appreciate him for what you helped me with in Boys State, Dr. Ivory. And, you know, this institution presents opportunities for individuals that are like unprecedented to some degree. And because of the opportunities that it affords individuals, it influences this community to a great degree. And I'm so appreciative to belong to this team because this is a team effort. And being a former high school athlete, I know how important teamwork is. And I really appreciate us coming together for this concerted effort in this community. Thank you. And with that,
we have one of our long-term employees returned, and I happen to be here tonight, and I wanted to just recognize him. He just happened to be the tallest person in the room, Officer Kaminsky, would you like to stand? And this is his last meeting. Before we leave, I'm going to ask Brandon to come and take a picture with us so we can put it up. We can come up, Brandon, we want to get you.
Can I make a comment?
Yeah, before she leaves.
I had received some emails from you, and I didn't know, and I'm so glad to be able to put the face with the email.
Yeah, I'm not Brandon.
Brandon, come on, let's get a picture, if you don't mind.
My battery on the camera, so I just took it. Give me a good one. No, I got it. My battery died. I took 1,000 pictures, so it was completely charged. This is my phone.
It's a good slide.
I got you both. One more. Okay, now for real, I'm done.
You guys?
We got you.
Okay, now.
Yeah.
With the motion to adjourn.
Don't move.